Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
We are a church that understands ourselves relationally, and that's why we're spending so much time on human sexuality, which is so much a part of our relationships, and why we are spending particular time on the place of gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered people in ministry. There are both congregations ready to call gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered persons in relationships, and there are persons in relationships that are ready to serve.
That is Presiding Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Bishop Mark Hansen. I think he used the term relationship or relationally three times in that short several sentences. It's an important word. It was a very important word in August when the church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, met and made a pretty pivotal decision about homosexuality. Now, they did it based largely upon the fact that they have what they call a relational theology. We're going to have to explore what that means. If you have a relational theology, what becomes of the scriptural teaching of the gospel? What becomes of the other scriptures? We know what becomes of scripture's prohibitions against homosexuality in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America with their relational theology, their relational way of understanding themselves. So what about other teachings of scripture? We're going to talk about the gospel of relationship here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Paul Schluter will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. After our conversation on the relational gospel, David Mills, author of an article in a recent issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Bad Books for Kids, will talk about the books your children read and the messages that they're picking up in those books. We'll have some audio open lines in the second hour of the program. Very interesting. A North Carolina Baptist church is planning a book burning for Halloween, a good old-fashioned book burning. They're going to burn the typical books, and then some books you might not expect, such as Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, some books by Billy Graham, and some Bibles. In fact, any Bibles they could find that aren't the King James Version, they're going to burn those too. We'll hear the story, and then I want to know what you think about this book burnings. Now, some of these books are genuinely harmful to the life of the church, to the faith of Christians. Some of them do contain profound errors and things that the Bible does not teach. Is the solution to burn them? If your congregation decided it wanted to have a good old-fashioned book burning, what would you say? How would you react? And what message does this send to everyone else when a church decides to have a good old-fashioned book burning on Halloween? It'll be open lines during the second hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter your comments then at issuesetc. Finally, in the last half hour of the program, Gretchen Pasentino of Answers in Action will join us. We'll talk about two issues. A mass global wedding conducted by the Reverend Sun Young Moon, head of the Unification Church. It's known as a cult. We'll get a reaction to the mass wedding, and then we'll turn to the subject of cults and the word cult with Gretchen Pasentino in the last half hour. It's Wednesday, October the 14th. We're coming to you live. Pastor Paul Schluter is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio. Pastor Schluter, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We heard there at the beginning Bishop Mark Hansen of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America say that they are a church body that understands itself relationally. What does that mean?
Well, I guess it could mean a lot of different things. It sounds like what he wants it to mean is that it's a church that's concerned about the relationships of people between one another, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. as Christians called to live in the world, we find ourselves engaged in all kinds of relationships, and it's good to be mindful of those. When the Bible talks about our relationships with one another, it wants to suggest that we have a significant problem in our relationships, and that is this issue of sin, sin that kind of gets in the way of our relationships with each other, sin that damages our relationships with one another, but especially with God. Understanding, having a church wanting to understand itself relationally, the way they've gone about it, they have really set aside the most important category, and that is what is our relationship with God.
All right, so connect the dots for me, because it seems rather clear to Bishop Hansen that understanding itself relationally as the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America led naturally to a conversation about human sexuality, about homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, and lesbianism, and it led them naturally to approve of these things. How do the dots get connected there between what you call the gospel of relationship and openly advocating sexually deviant behavior that the Bible prohibits?
Well, I don't know. I suppose probably a background question is, what does the Bible have to say about relationships? And if a church is going to make this kind of a change, are they doing that under the auspices of the Bible? I don't know if I'm answering your question, and I think I might be changing it and taking a little bit different direction from where you're wanting to go.
Well, why don't you give us some background on exactly how the gospel of relationship would be defined in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or other church bodies that have adopted similar ideas?
The gospel of relationship is really just a casting of scripture in terms of in terms of relationship. You know, when the Bible wants to talk about what the Bible really wants to talk about, the heart and soul, the heart and center of the Bible is Christ on the cross, dead on the cross for us and for our sin. The gospel of relationship really rips that out of the heart and center of the Bible, and kind of picks and chooses in the Bible things that have to do with relationships. What winds up happening is, you know, the Bible works in categories of law and gospel, of sin and grace, of repentance and forgiveness. And the gospel of relationship, rather than dealing with us and our condition before God and each other in terms of those categories, highlights especially the just categories of general relationships and deals with them in sometimes psychological categories, sociological categories, social sciences, all those sorts of things.
So what is it? Is it that the gospel of relationship, as we're calling it here, elevates the affirmation of someone else to such a degree? You don't want to do anything to harm the relationship, so to pronounce God's judgment on any kind of behavior or attitude would somehow harm the relationship. That kind of stuff has to go. Is that the logic at work here?
It's really a redefinition of sin. The Bible talks about sin. What makes a sin is that it's offensive to God. If you were to go back and read the ELCA's social statement, Human Sexuality, Gift, and Trust is the title of it. It defines sin not in terms of things that I do that are offensive to God, but in terms of things that I do that are destructive to relationships, to individuals, to community, things that are offensive to other people, things that hurt somebody in some way, things that make somebody feel badly about themselves or about something.
All right, when we come back from the break, this is interesting because the key, at least for those who have bought into this in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and elsewhere, is that concept of trust. It's a very interesting redefinition of the word trust. The Bible deals with man in two different relationships. Man's relationship to his creator, God, It's usually called Coram Deo, before God, and man's relationships with other men, before men. It sounds as though the gospel of relationship that is so popular in liberal church bodies has eliminated the entire category of before God and replaced it entirely with before man. And if we seek to please men, what does St. Paul say? Am I trying now to please men? If I were, I would not please God. The primary relationship, according to Scripture, is not how you get along with your brother. That's important, but it's secondary. The primary relationship is how do you stand before God? We'll talk about the issue of trust in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America right after this.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the New Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the New Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
What trust Jesus the Christ has placed in us that we should be witnesses to this gift of unconditional love for all people, especially in this instance as that love is expressed through the gift of human sexuality.
I have sought to faithfully lead you this week. It's been a challenge and it's been a joy. I take up the work that we all now share, to be attentive to one another, to be open to the Spirit, to be proclaiming the good news of Christ, and to be serving our neighbor. Thank you for the week we've had together.
A tearful goodbye from Bishop Mark Hansen of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America at their late assembly this summer where they decided to approve of homosexuality. He found it difficult, and yet he wanted to hold the church together. Largely his advice there at his final address was, let's just kind of hang on to one another. This is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for some might leave, but let's hang on to one another. Sounds a lot like a father speaking to a family going through a rough patch, and not so much a bishop dealing with a church that has seriously deviated from the sound word of God. He should be calling them to repent rather than to simply hang together during tough times, but that's what you get when you have a gospel of relationship. And the previous speaker also talked about trust. Christ trusts us with this issue. Pastor Paul Schluter is our guest. We're talking about the gospel of relationship and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America statement on sexuality. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, October the 14th. email your questions or comments to us as well. talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Pastor Schluter, the word trust comes up a lot, and you've written about it recently, that this is a major category in this gospel of relationship. What is it supposed to mean?
Well, it sure sounds like a biblical word, doesn't it? I mean, we as Christians talk about trust and trust in God, and you kind of use it as a parallel idea for faith. So, you know, we talk about trust, and we think we're talking biblical terms. What human sexuality, gift, and trust, the ELCA social statement has done, is it has taken this biblical word, and it has kind of stuffed it full of all kinds of sociological use. They're kind of upfront with that. If you read through the document on the first page, it has a footnote, and it says, "Trust is a fundamental characteristic of right relationship. God is trustworthy to us and all of creation," and then kind of goes on to explain that we then are trustworthy to one another, and that this trust is a central characteristic of human relationships. And it's kind of wants us to understand that we're supposed to behave in a way that's trustworthy toward one another, and that is not compromising or undercutting each other in any way.
You call it an ethic of trust. So someone may ask, well, Pastor, what's wrong with trying to engender trust in a denomination like this, or engender trust between fellow Christians in a denomination? What's wrong with it when, at the same time, that church has chosen to ignore God's word?
Well, there's nothing wrong with engendering trust in and of itself. The problem comes in when we are more concerned about maintaining someone's self-esteem, when we're more concerned about making them feel badly toward us, when that becomes the most important thing, as opposed to a clear confession of the word of God. So it's not so much the trust that's an issue, it's trust at the exclusion of God's word.
Another concept I heard bandied about during the debate in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, especially when they got down to the nitty-gritty of what the Bible teaches and what the church has said previously on this subject, they started to talk about complexity. What were they talking about?
Complexity is kind of a convenient way out of dealing with the Word of God. If we can recategorize something as being complex, then all of a sudden we can change the rules about how we have to handle it. It's sort of an appeal to the hard cases. The document wants to it offers examples of gender identity, and body image, and these things that that people are apparently dealing with and confused about. And the move that they make is to say that because there are people who have some confusion about these issues in a personal sort of way, that we should, appealing to trust, just affirm them in their questioning, I guess.
Along with that, it appeared, and this was probably more mentioned than any other category that was thrown around in order to justify approving homosexuality, this notion of a bound conscience. It sounded like they were saying, look, some people are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. That's how their conscience binds them, and who are you to question their bound conscience? Is it that simple?
They appeal to the freedom of the Christian, document written by Martin Luther, and they say that because we have Christian freedom, that you don't have the right to bind the conscience of another Christian if they have in their heart decided that some particular issue is okay. In answer to your question, is it that simple? We always have to account for the Word of God. regardless of whether or not I feel okay with my sin, because this happens all the time. I mean, people are satisfied being sinners, and they don't feel like they necessarily need to repent. And so they could just as easily say, well, you know, my conscience is bound to say that my sin is acceptable, so who are you to question me in it? We can't ever make ourselves and how we feel about something the litmus test, kind of the dividing line for where right ends and wrong begins.
So in a nutshell, how would you contrast the biblical gospel, or I guess we should say use the categories before, law and gospel, a right dividing of God's word, with what's going on in the evangelical Lutheran church in America?
I think they have really thrown out the categories of law and gospel. They don't really care to deal with them. They're much more concerned to affirm, to tolerate, they want to avoid causing offense, and so the God's word of law, which very clearly condemns homosexuality as a sin, is pushed aside. The background for human sexuality gift and trust is a document that they prepared called Journeying Together, Journeying Together Faithfully, that published, I think, back in 2004. And they deal with biblical passages, and they'll kind of pit one against the other. And they say that they're letting Scripture interpret Scripture, but they say that the most important Bible passages are the ones that talk about love, and all the others are subservient to those. And that really doesn't get around to what the Bible really wants to talk about. You know, certainly homosexuality is sin, and so are a lot of other things. And when Scripture talks about sin, it talks about it in terms of God's condemnation, talks about it in terms of repentance. But then we apply the gospel to that. And once we've seen our sin and seen the need for our Savior, we fall at the feet of the cross and beg God for forgiveness, and for the sake of Christ, He says yes. The biggest tragedy with this gospel of relationship that's invaded the ELCA is that it takes away the need for repentance. And in so doing, you know, if I don't need to repent for my sin, be it homosexuality or any other sin, we've got plenty of heterosexual sins that we could talk about. If all of a sudden we don't need to repent, then we don't need forgiveness. Then we don't need Jesus. And that's the real tragedy.
Folks, you can read an article by Pastor Schluter. He's written it. It's titled "The ELCA Statement on Sexuality and the Gospel of Relationship." We'll put it under the on-demand page of our website for you to read, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Pastor Paul Schluter is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to Pastor Aaron Koch and Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, one of the many Issues Etc. 300 congregations supporting Issues Etc. with $1,000 in their annual mission or advertising budget. Thanks to Pastor Koch and to Mount Zion Lutheran in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Find out more about becoming a member of the Issues Etc. 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find a flyer there that you can take to your congregation when you ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, David Mills will join us. We'll talk about the books your children are reading and their messages. You're invited this summer to an exploration and study tour of the lives of Martin Luther and J.S. Bach. This tour of Germany will be led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. See where Luther and Bach were born, lived, worked, and died. For more information on a tour of Germany, June 1st through the 10th, call area code 402-643-7444 or send an email to matthew.phillips@cune.edu.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. online at issuesetc.org.
No Sonatocrats allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's been an astonishing breakthrough with patients in a so-called persistent vegetative state. I say so-called because I don't like equating humans with vegetables. Researchers from Cambridge University played a noise before they shot a puff of air into the eyes of these patients. They did this repeatedly. In many cases, the patients learned the noise would result in discomfort to their eye and twitched their eye muscles in anticipation. The study leader said the patients clearly knew the stimulus would come. A control group of people under general anesthesia did not respond to the air puff in their eyes. Researchers said these results could have profound implications for the future treatment of people they have previously written off as not being aware of their surroundings. I say it's about time.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.